Next, we have Brother Abdullah Shetty, who was born as Ashish Shetty, who embraced Islam at the age of 17. His mother and sister took Shahada over the phone a year later. Shall I call upon Brother Abdullah Shetty?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد I begin with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, the one who has created you and me for the sole purpose of worshipping Him. And foremost, I would like to thank the organizers for giving me this opportunity to share my story. I would also like to thank you all for taking our time and, you know, coming here to listen to our stories. My name is Abdullah Shetty, and my previous name was Ashish. I come from a place called Udupi. I think most of them over here are Indians, so I think you know this place. Udupi is also known as the temple city of India. So I come from a family, the Shetty background, and I think the time given to me, I don't think I'll be able to complete the whole story in detail. So I'll have to skip up some parts. Maybe if you have some questions, you can ask in the end. And before Islam, being born, you know, brought up in a Shetty family, we are not religious as such. We tend to become religious during Diwali and during some festivals. So now, this is the case of most of Hindus. If you ask them how concerned are they seriously about their religion, they are not actually, you know, they don't bother much about their religion. And there are a few incidents in my life that actually, you know, paved way for me learning about Islam. One of them was my grandpa's death. Death is something which makes everybody think. You know, if somebody who's here and has lost a loved one, he knows that how it feels when he loses the loved one, and he knows that this person who has passed away is not going to be back. He's not going to, you know, you're not going to meet him. So when my grandpa passed away, I actually started thinking about life. I was quite young at that time. So I used to think that if life is all about dying, then why am I here? And I was quite close to my mom. I couldn't digest the fact that one day I'm going to lose my parents, I'm going to lose my friends, and we're all going to die and come to an end. So this, I used to think about this. I was quite young, and for a month I didn't get sleep. So finally, I think my mom, she took me to the doctor, and death is something, you know, with time people forget. So I moved on, the life carried on. But that had a deep impact on me. You know, it gave me reasons to think, what is the purpose of life? This is something that I started thinking about. So at that point of time, I thought, you know, I was born in a Hindu family, so I think Hinduism is a truth, so let me look into it. So I started getting, you know, becoming a bit religious, you can say. I started going to the temples. In South India, you name any temple, I think I have been there. I've covered most of the temples, and then I started reading the mantras that they have and doing so many stuff, and started questioning people. It took like, you know, maybe a couple of years I started doing this, and then finally one fine day I sit and I realize that, subhanAllah, whom was I worshipping so far? Because I see a portrait of God in front of me, and there is dust on top of it, and I realize that this God whom I've been asking so far has not been able to remove that dust that's on top of him. And how is he going to help me? You know, that made me think. And that's when I started, you know, looking, you know, into the scriptures, like how we have the Ramayana, the Mahabharata. And after going through all that, I realized I don't want to be worshipping a God who needs the help of an army to defeat his enemies, who needs the help of monkeys to rescue his wife. I don't want to be worshipping a God who steals from his neighbor. I don't want to be worshipping a God who cannot recognize who is his son. I don't want to be worshipping a God who cannot fix back the the head of the son, which he himself cut. I don't want to be worshipping a God who has a wife, who, I don't want to be worshipping a God who looks like human, who needs family. Because if God is in need, then God, he's not God. If God is not perfect, then he's not God. And if God is like me, then he's not God. This is something that every person actually knows, but doesn't want to accept the fact. So, however, my question was unanswered at that time. So, I thought, you know, let me look into something else. So, there was this thing called Brahma Kumaris, you know, they wear the white sari and they say that God is one. So, I was quite attracted towards this concept of God being one, you know, this is great. So, I joined this and I can't get into more details about this. So let me just say, the reason I left it, because finally they told me God is Shiva. I mean, I left this and came here and you tell me again the God is Shiva. You told me it's one, now you changed. Then they say, they had the session where the, you know, all the men sit on the floor and the woman, there's a young lady who comes and she stares at the man. And if you ask them why they're doing this, they say positive vibrations pass through this the starring session. I mean, that's when I knew I need to get out from here. And that's when I knew why the people around me were here for. And after that, the search continued, search for truth continued. And I was going to a secular Christian college, school, you can say. So, Christians, you can see them being very nice with the best of akhlaq and best of manners. And, you know, they call you for Christmas and they give you cake. And, you know, my teachers all were nice to me. So I thought, you know, they are so good to you. I think this has to be the truth. And so I thought, let me, you know, look into it. So I had a Christian friend and he told me to, he gave me a Bible. Now again, I don't want to get into the details of why I came out of it. I think maybe Brother Zubilil is going to explain why Christianity is wrong. So the, for me, it was more enough that the moment I opened, it says revised edition. And I asked, what's revised edition? They say that if you ask somebody who's more truthful Christian, he'll say some of the lines of these Bibles were removed. I'm like, if it's from God, why did you remove it? So before you open, you actually close it, because if it is from God, it doesn't change. It has to remain the same, and no human intervention can occur in that. And there are many other concepts which actually I don't want to discuss here in this gathering right now. And so now from 3,333,000,000 of God, I came to 3. And then in college, I thought that, you know, I still couldn't find answers to this. So I thought, there's no God. So I came to 0. So I concluded that there is no God. Let me enjoy life, you know. They say, just do it. Whatever you can, just do it before you die and have the best out of it. And life is all about, you know, enjoying and doing whatever you can till you die. After you die, that's it, nothing. Nobody's going to ask about you. You'll be, you know, burnt or buried or whatever. So, I started doing all the wrong things which I shouldn't do, astaghfirullah. And I started being with the wrong crowd, partying, going to the risk. You know, I was working as a part-time VJ, and then I was hanging out with people. I started disobeying my parents. I used to bunk classes. My attendance was very low, and play pool, you know, late night outs, and hang around with the girls, and do all the wrong stuff. And people around me used to think, "Oh, Ashish is enjoying life, man. You know, he's very happy." I used to show that to the people that, you know, I'm enjoying it. And you know, you see youngsters who do this kind of lifestyle, they show you that they're having the best of it. But deep within, even that person and even me, I knew at that point that I was not happy, because after doing it all, I sat thinking, okay, now I've done it all, what next? What do we do? That's it. So you don't get that real happiness out of all this stuff, and you still seek for that. But however, you feel that there's no answer, you give up and you stop, you know, just live life enjoying and doing all stuff. And now you might ask, you tried all different things, but why not Islam? And this is one question which I always love to answer. A few aspects. One was my dad's friends, like they are members of this anti-Muslim groups, you can say. So since childhood, I was brain fed that you need to hate Muslims, you need to always get more marks than the Muslims, you need to, you know, compete with them in all sorts and do better than them. So although I had Muslim friends in school, but that deep within, I used to dislike them. I don't know for what reason. Now they used to always say that Muslims are, you know, they're Pakistanis. That's it. And that was the concept of Islam, and also the media. SubhanAllah. The media plays a big role. If you watch the Bollywood, I mean, don't watch the Bollywood movies, but if you had already seen it before, then you'll see. Islam is either portrayed as a guy with a long beard and a terrorist, or a Muslim girl with just a dupatta on her head and she falls in love with a non-Muslim guy, or there is this guy who goes and goes in front of the graves, astaghfirullah, or there is this guy who whirls around and, you know, does the Sufi thing. Yeah? So this is the way media tries to portray Islam, and this is how we all, you know, digest this thing, and we think, okay, this is what it is. And the third most important reason is, I feel sad to say this, but this is the truth, that it's because of Muslims. You see, you actually don't realize the difference. You see Muslims who don't look like Muslims, who don't behave like Muslims. You see them lie, you see them cheat, you see them not praying. I mean, if this is the religion, that is the truth, you should have convinced them. That's what I started thinking at that point of time. And then, during this time, I actually met a Muslim friend. I had Muslim friends before that, but I met this friend in college and we were quite close and we started hanging around and we started discussing all sorts, you know, stuff like from cars to, you know, sports to girls to, you know, religion and all that. So one fine day, we spoke about religion and I was quite curious to know about it. So he tells me, do you know who is Allah? And like, you know, most non-Muslims, especially my family back in India, they think that Muslims, they either worship a wall because they see them prostrating in front of the wall, or they worship that moon and the star that's on top of the masajid, or, you know, they have this, they worship this, the dead people, or they have this weird concept of what most non-Muslims back in India, they don't know what a Muslim is doing. So the moment he told me Allah means the true God, I was like, what are you saying? I mean, this can't be true. Does this mean this? I mean, are you like serious about it? Then he says, yes. And Islam means submitting your will to the one true God. And Muslim means the one who submits his will to the one true God. Like, I was blown off. But the thing is, you know, in this journey of seeking the truth, there are certain barriers that come. For me, at that point, I wanted to know the truth. But then my biggest barrier at that point of time was my ego. You know, most non-Muslims who try to look for the truth, it's their ego that puts them back. So at that point of time, the moment he told all these things, I was getting convinced inside that there's something special about it. But my ego, I was showing, all right, you know, I don't care whatever you say, you need to listen to what I say, and this is Hinduism, and this is, I was, you know, trying to give law of Hinduism, although deep within me, I know Hinduism is not the truth. But still, that thing about my culture and my people, I was trying to prove it on him. And it wasn't that he was trying to convert me or something, we just had this discussion. So the more he started talking about Islam, the more I started, you know, thinking about it. Then he started talking about the scientific miracles in the Quran, which Brother Ismail already mentioned. There was one thing which, there's a book similar to the Brief Illustrated Guide of Understanding Islam, it's similar to that, which he showed me. In that there's a verse, I think Surah Qiyamah verse 3 to 4 or something like that, and it talks about, does man think that he'll not be resurrected? Verily he'll be raised back to the tips of his fingers. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to stress on the point, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this, that if man assumes that you won't be resurrected, verily we bring back to the tips of the fingers. And just 400, I mean, just few hundred years back, we came to know that every person has a different fingertip. Now, this, all these things start make me thinking, you know, this guy who is in the desert, no internet, no Google, and he comes up with all these things, it can't be from him. So I started doing my own research, because I wasn't a sort of person whom you can come and say, see, this is my religion, this is these are the nice people, and this is the truth, and this is the book from God. Okay, do this. I wouldn't do that, you know. Why should I? So I started doing my own research. I went back and looked into Hinduism again, because I it was hard for me to accept that Islam was better than Hinduism, you know. I just couldn't accept, because you're all brain fed since childhood that these are the violent people. How can violent people be the, you know, the right people? So I started doing my own research, and I looked back into Hinduism again just to confirm. Then I looked into Christianity, and subhanAllah, the more you do research about other religions, the more you're convinced, the more you are convinced about Islam. This is a challenge for all the non-Muslims. The more you research about your own religion, the more you'll be convinced about Islam if you look into Islam. If you look into Islam through a neutral source. I thank Allah that Allah showed me Muslims before He showed me Islam. Because at that point of time, I had realized that Muslims and Islam is two different things. For people who look for truth, they get this mixed up. They look at the behavior of the Muslim. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say all Muslims are bad. You know, mashallah, there are a whole lot of good ones among them. But people get this thing mixed up. They look at Muslims and they try to come to conclusion. No, don't do that. Look into the scriptures. Look into what the original source has to say, and that's when you will be convinced about Islam being the truth. So, however, I think it was in 2008 something. It took some time for my ego to, you know, overcome. But I, you know, still I didn't tell him that. Okay, I'm convinced. I tried to get more into knowing about Hinduism actually, and that's when I realized, I came to the conclusion that if you see the Hindus, the idols or gods that they worship, especially in our place, if you notice, it's more about what they fear or something that brings them benefit. Like, let me give you an example. My family, you know, in our place, they worship the cow. Or they worship this plant called Tulsi. The reason, if you see, actually is because it has some benefit. Okay, now if it has a benefit, why does it have to be God itself? Or why does it have to be divine? It's something that God gave us as a means to use. Or, you know, if you see, in our place they worship the tiger. This is something, object of fear. So automatically the Hindus, they choose an object of fear to be something that needs to be worshipped. I mean, and you will be actually shocked that if I tell you that you know, in our place we have this family god thing also. Like, there are 3 crore 333 lakhs gods, plus there is this family god for each family, and, you know, I don't know how many more. So my family god is a pig, and I don't know what more to say on that. And so during this time, this transition period which I had, you know, doing the research and all that, I didn't tell him that I want to become a Muslim or anything. I just stopped arguing, you know, reduced arguing, started looking into Islam, started looking into who this person Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. Did he do it for the sake of money? Did he do it for the sake of women? Did he do it for the sake of something else or for fame? If you look into the seerah of Muhammad, you'll get the answer for everything. Now, I don't have the time to answer all these questions. However, I started, you know, showing him some sort of interest. And so what we did was, we didn't know something about Shahada and all. Even my friend didn't know, and I didn't know. So we started just becoming, like, you know, many of the Muslims, like you say, Jummah Muslims, just praying the Jummah. And that's how I started, you know, I don't know the exact date when I became a Muslim. It was just like over a period of time that I was convinced. The more I studied about Islam, the more convinced I was. And so this went on for like a period of time, and we were just, however, I was worshipping one God. I was believing that the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the final messenger. Like most Muslims think that it's only La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah that can take you to Jannah. I was thinking like that, okay, that's it. And I was just going for the Jummah prayers. People around me started assuming things, you know. My family, they thought that he's been experimenting, this is his new experiment, okay, let him continue. And because my manners didn't change, my habits didn't change, because I didn't know that what Islam says. I just knew about Tawheed. That's all my friend told me, Tawheed, that's it. We just spoke only about Tawheed, and it was such a beautiful topic that I actually fell in love with Tawheed. SubhanAllah, it's so beautiful. And so for a period of time, the Muslims started assuming that this guy is coming only for the Friday prayers. There's something wrong, you know, maybe he's a double agent. And my family also didn't take me serious. This thing went on for a while, and after that I decided to move on to Bangalore. Now, what happened after I came back from Bangalore, I think it's time for prayer, so let's just continue after that, inshallah. And I hope to see you all soon, and I hope nobody's missing in this audience, inshallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. It's good to see all the brothers back, mashallah. And let me continue from where I stopped. There was, I had understood Tawheed, and then I moved to Bangalore. But life hadn't changed. I was just the same person. Nobody noticed any changes in me. People around me started assuming things. The most common assumption that you have back in India is that people become Muslims either for money or for marriage. So people started assuming things. Even the Muslims, some of them started coming up with stories. And my family also didn't take it so seriously. And I was also not, in my heart, I had decided that now I believe that there is one God. I'm going to keep that belief inside me. I'm not going to share this to anybody. Why should I simply, get into trouble? So I moved to Bangalore to study animation. And then everything was the same, like music, friends, party, everything was the same. So I came back home, and during my vacation, I came to our place, Udupi. And it was in April, I think around 2009, yes. I had this, actually I was going with my friend on a bike, and we had a severe accident. It was a major accident, and we actually fell on top of the windshield and then on top of the car, and then we fell back. And I was actually very close to death, you can say that. And that's when the whole thing, I started thinking about it. What if I had actually died at this very moment? What would have happened to me? What would have happened to my family? I had decided I'll keep it as a secret. Then who would have told them about Islam? If this was the truth, what did I do about it? I just believed, that's it. At that point of moment, I was actually looking for the answers. Although I had found Tawheed, I had not actually found the correct answer. There was happiness inside me, but I had not found the answer. At that point, I realized the verses of the Quran that actually made sense at that moment. That is, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah has created jinn and mankind solely for the purpose of worshipping Him. Now, what's happening is, people say we are Muslims, we say La ilaha illallah, and we go to Jannah. No, that's not it. There's something more to it, and that's about living as a Muslim. That's about dying as a Muslim, not just by saying La ilaha illallah, but by testifying it with your actions as well. That's about loving the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's about doing what Allah has asked you to do. And all these things, at that last moment, I had heard about all these things, but I wasn't taking it seriously. But when I was so close to death, I knew that if I had died now, I don't know what would I be answering to my Lord on the Day of Judgment. That when you got the message, what do you do about it? I didn't do anything about it. So, alhamdulillah, that was one of the most beautiful things. The accident that happened to me was one of the most beautiful things that Allah has given to me in my life, alhamdulillah. And because of that, I was bedridden for 3 months. And I had a crack in my bone in the leg. And so at that point of time, I decided I need to start to do what Islam asked me to do what Allah has told me to do. I started praying secretly. I started knowing about the religion. I started knowing more about Islam. And the more I started learning about Islam, the more convinced I was. During this time, there was something else that happened also. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me this accident as an opportunity for me to be with my family. Because before that, I used to go out of home in the morning, and I used to come back sometimes maybe late at night, sometimes maybe after a week, sometimes maybe after 15 days. I used to just party, and I was least bothered about my family. I'd actually forgotten that I have a sister to look after. I have my mom and my dad who actually love me and all that. I'd forgotten about it, because when you get into this think about this teenage years and adrenaline rush and, you know, having fun, friends. You think this is all life is all about. You don't want somebody who pesters you all the time, who, you know, tells you not to do this, not to do that. You want to stay away from all such things. So Allah gave me this opportunity that I be with my family. So I was bedridden. I was in the hospital for a few months, the first month, and then I was taken to home. I was not able to walk at that point of time. And so what used to happen was, many of the Muslims knew that I became Muslim. So they used to come to visit me. And my mom was saying all this, and she used to see, this guy who was born and brought up in a Hindu family, his relatives come once in a month. And what's up with this Muslim visiting him every day? I'm like, she used to think, what's wrong? Something is wrong. Why are all these, you know, bearded men and women in burqa coming as couples and, you know, their family to see this guy? Something is wrong. But however, you know, what happens is when people become Muslims, especially, you know, if there are some new Muslims out here, they think that now I'm Muslim and I go tell my family and inshallah they'll accept it. But it's not so easy, you know, you don't get up and go tell your mom I'm a Muslim and she says, okay, mashallah, even I'll be a Muslim. It doesn't happen like that. So alhamdulillah, Allah gave me that understanding at that point of time. So what did I do? I didn't tell them that I wanted to become a Muslim. I just told them, mom, you see these people coming over here. Do you know who they are? Do you know what they believe in? Do you know whom they worship? I used to answer oral questions and she used to listen to me because, you know, I'm like sick and I'm on the bed and which are I, you know. And also she was like surprised that I'm speaking to her, because after long years that I started actually talking to my mom, subhanAllah, which I actually regret now that I, anyways, so I started telling her about how these Muslims are and what they do and what are the misconceptions that the media, the people around, that the Muslims themselves have created about Islam. And I started telling her about, you know, it's all about worshipping one God. I put stress on the fact of Tawheed. That's the only thing that can save you. Even if you have the best of manners, even if you do the best of deeds, if you don't worship Allah the way He's supposed to worship, if you associate partners with Him, if you bow down to idols, if you bow down to graves, if you bow down to saints, if you bow down to somebody else other than Allah, all your deeds are going to be a vain. I used to explain to her, but not telling that this is what I want to do, this is what they are doing, you know. So she used to listen, okay, these people are doing that, okay. So good for them. So after 3 months of talking and telling her about scientific miracles, I forgot to mention one thing. During this point of time, actually, since I come from a Shetty family, alcohol is very common. You know, most of our businesses are based on alcohol only. So my dad was a good person. But when he used to consume alcohol, he used to get violent and he used to get harsh. And so since childhood, I had this hatred towards intoxicants. I had this hatred towards cigarette, smoking and all that thing that makes you lose your consciousness. So I wasn't close to my dad. So this period of time, I was actually speaking more to my mom and my sister. So I used to tell them this. And after a period of 3 months, I think I had the courage to tell her that, see, this is what I have told you and this is what actually I want to become. But alhamdulillah, Allah had softened her heart in those 3 months, and she knows that I'm in a state of despair, like I'm bedridden. So the mom is always, you know, full of mercy. So she told me that, okay, if this is what you want to do, okay, do it, but don't force me, don't force your family, you know, do whatever you want. Alhamdulillah, so Allah made that transition phase very easy for me. So I would advise the new Muslims, especially, that when you become Muslim and if your family members don't see a change in you, then don't expect them to be Muslims themselves. You if you give 24 hours dawah to them, if you speak about comparative religion, if you speak about scientific miracles in the Quran, it won't make an impact that more than if you follow Islam the way it is supposed to be followed. So instead of, you know, just jumping on them with your dawah techniques, what you need to do is do what Allah has asked you to do. Be the best to your parents. This is what Allah has told. This is not my philosophy or somebody else's philosophy. This is what Allah has told, that you need to be very good to your parents. You can't say a word of oof, that's the word of despair to your parents. Be kind to your neighbors, you know, pray on time. obey your parents as long as it is in obedience to the Creator. But when it comes to disobedience to Allah, you have to refuse obeying to your parents or whoever it is. And don't lie, don't cheat, don't. You can't expect that you have been smoking so far, you have been drinking, and now you become a Muslim, and you're still the same, and you expect your family members to become Muslims. I mean, it doesn't work that way. Unless people around you see a change in you, they wouldn't be convinced that there is something about this religion. So if you want to make your mom, your father, or anybody around you a Muslim, you need to change first. You need to live the life the way Allah has asked you to live. So during this period, I told her I want to become Muslim, and then she said, okay, alhamdulillah. Then sometimes she used to actually, alhamdulillah, Allah put it in her heart that I used to walk with crutches. So I still remember she used to take me to the masjid and she used to drop me and she used to come back, alhamdulillah. But however, she was not going to accept Islam, because in the journey of seeking truth, the first barrier is ego. Okay, alhamdulillah, Allah guided me and I overcame that. Then the second barrier is your family. And this is what most people are stuck with. They want to accept Islam, but they say, what about my family? If you know that Allah is the one who can change hearts, you have to keep tawakkul on Him and take the decision. Allah will make it easy for you. It is important for you to save yourself first, then only you can think about your family. First save yourself and then keep tawakkul on Allah, and Allah will make it very easy for you. So at that point of time, I started praying regularly, I started keeping a beard, mashallah, I met with some really nice Muslims, alhamdulillah, and I started learning a bit of the deen also, and also I met the wrong Muslims, I can say, I don't know how to say that. Some people came up with theories that don't start keeping a beard. I mean, the Sahabas used to cut the beard, and all sorts of stories they made up and trying to convince me, don't become like an extremist. I was like, what's this? This is what Allah has asked me to do. This is what I'm doing, and it's very simple. So I started praying in the masjid. I started Allah blessed me with knowing the Muslims before Islam. That's why I used to go to the prayer, and I used to see, subhanAllah, Jummah prayers, the masjid is full and there is no space outside. And when I reach the early morning, I used to tell at home that I'm going to the gym, and I used to go for Fajr prayers. And I used to see there's only one sub. I used to wonder, what happened to all these Muslims now? Where are they? You know? But anyways, Allah had put it in my heart that these two are two different things, Islam and whatever you see. So don't get it mixed up. And then I decided that since people were having some assumptions, and then people, some of the Muslims were concerned that, you know, I might cause a fitna between the Hindus and Muslims, because if somebody is from my place, Udupi, he knows how communal that place is. But the truth is, if you have tawakkul on Allah and if you rely on Allah, nobody can do anything to you as long as Allah wills. And if somebody does something to you, always remember that Allah always wants good for you as long as you put the tawakkul on Allah. So all those things I heard from Muslims. I know some people find it shocking that how come nobody, no Hindu questioned you. It is because it's Allah's will. And unless Allah wills, nobody has the right to even move their tongue. So nobody actually came and asked me. I used to go, my neighbor was active, the leader of the RSS, or what do you say, we say Bajrangal in our place. So I used to go to masjid and for Fajr, and I used to see him on the way. But alhamdulillah, nothing can happen unless Allah wills. So I knew that, although some of the Muslims were saying, no, you need to be careful and all that. So then I decided, maybe I need to seek more knowledge of the religion. So I need to move to a Muslim country, and alhamdulillah, some of the brothers, alhamdulillah, they helped me find a job. Actually, I'm 21 and I look much older right now. So I decided to give up my studies at that point of time, and I moved to Dubai, alhamdulillah. And it was I was very happy to see the number of masajids over here. I had come up with an expectation, but also I knew that these two are different things, so I didn't, again get worried about all that. You have an opportunity of choosing the path over here. You want to go and seek knowledge, you have that opportunity. You don't want to, you have the other opportunity. So it's all up to you, alhamdulillah. So I was here, alhamdulillah, and the day I came here, for around 2-3 months, I think, I used to call my mom every single day, every single day. And most people assume that I must have given her dawah. No, I wasn't doing that. I was telling her, mom, how are you? Mom, I miss you. I was telling her that, Mom, I love you. And if you are from a Hindu family, this is something like taboo, you know, to tell your mom you love her, subhanAllah. This is something you wouldn't do. But I did that because this is what Islam asks you to do. And this, I remember the day, once she told my relatives that, you know, my son is so spoiled, I wish he was not born at all. And then Islam came into, Allah guided me to Islam, and I remember this day where she told me, son, I'm really proud of you. SubhanAllah. That was, you know, one of the biggest blessings that Allah gave me. And so I used to speak to her every single day, either speak to her or maybe sometimes message her that I'm missing her, I wish she was here, I wish she saw how Muslims are and how we live and all that. So it was more about being nice to her, because, you know, sometimes they say that in order to convince somebody, invite him for a cup of tea. No matter, like, if you have all the proofs and if you say that 1 + 1 = 2, if he doesn't like you, he's not going to accept what you say. And I knew that. So since Allah has asked me to be nice to my mom, I was being nice to her and I was making dua to Allah. That is that one thing which most Muslims forget. They say that I want to give dua to this is one question which I actually wanted to touch up here. This is one question, if there are any new Muslims over here, they'll often get this question. I have a Hindu colleague at work, how do I call him to Islam? You know, this is one question is very common, and many people have maybe waiting to ask me after the talk, I have a Hindu colleague, how do I call him to Islam? I'll tell you the answer, how do you call him to Islam? And it's very simple. You need to do wudu properly. Now you might be thinking, what's wudu got to do with him becoming a Muslim? The moment you do wudu properly, and the moment you stand in salah, and the moment you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is your Lord, the moment you ask him in your prayers, in your sujood, in the last part of the night, that, oh Allah, there is a colleague in me, oh Allah, my friend, he's working with me, and oh Allah, I've been telling him about Islam, oh Allah, guide him. Maybe Allah will accept your dua. You need to purify your intentions of why you want to guide your colleague to Islam. Is it because you want to say everybody that, you see, I gave him the, he's my product? Or do you actually want to do that because of the pleasure of Allah, because of pleasure, you know, attaining his pleasure, and that should be your sole intention for doing that. I hear so many people, I met somebody who told me, how do I give dawah to this guy? And he tell, and I started speaking to him, I came to know that this guy, he worships the graves, subhanAllah. I'm like, your house is on fire and you're trying to save somebody else's house? I mean, how does that make sense? You are yourself committing the greatest of all shirk, and you're asking, how do I guide somebody else to tawheed? I mean, that's so funny. So the first and foremost thing, if you want to give some dawah to somebody, I'm not saying that you need to perfect yourself and then go and give a dawah, no. But set your priorities right. What's your priority in life? Save yourself first from the hellfire and then your family. You can see so many brothers, you know, subhanAllah, they don't have the love for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't, when Fajr, Allah is going and they're still sleeping, when the Jamaah is going, they're still sleeping, and then they wake up in the morning, they go to office and they open the Bible and they start their dawah thing, subhanAllah. You need to save yourself first, and then your family, and then you need to think about other people, because if you don't go according to this way, subhanAllah, you will get deviated. I remember today morning my ustad, he told me that one thing which I actually wanted to share with you, that some of the scholars say that in your lifetime, you need to make at least one person a Muslim. You need to make at least one person a Muslim. You'll ask me who that one person is. That one person is you yourself. You need to make you yourself a Muslim first. And also according to the Hadith number 38 of Nawawi, which talks about what you need to do is do your faraid first and then your nawafil. And that's when Allah starts loving you, and that's when He accepts your duas, and that's when He gives you refuge. So if you don't go according to this, and if you try to save the whole world while you yourself are destined to do, it's going to be a difficult journey for yourself. Okay, anyways, I think I lost the track. So where was I? Yeah, I was talking to my mom, and then after a few months, I guess, what happened was, one fine day I was talking to her something, and then she said something I don't remember exactly. I'll tell you the reason why I don't remember many of the incidents is I had not actually dreamt or thought that I'll be standing one fine day and talking to the Muslims about this story of how I came into Islam. I had not thought that this was going to be like the most important thing that happened to me in my life. But now I do realize, alhamdulillah, that she said something. I said, how come you're saying that? You're not a Muslim. And she says, who told you that? I was like, I mean, she must be joking. Then I asked her, do you really want to become a Muslim? Because in Islam, many people assume that, you know, people become Muslims out of force. There's no force in Islam. La ikraha fid deen. So I asked her, do you want to become Muslim? And that's when she said, yes. I was actually flying in the air at that time, subhanAllah. I just couldn't believe what I heard. So I spoke to her. And I realized that she was doing her own research at that time, and she saw the changes in me. She saw that the son who was in the lost track, who was hanging around his friends, who was doing all the wrong stuff, has now, come to the straight path. So, and she did her own research about whatever she thought, and alhamdulillah, she's in the audience right now, and I think she's listening. And alhamdulillah, that's when she took the shahada. And the surprising part was, I spoke to my sister the same day, and that's when she also took the shahada, alhamdulillah. And she was 15 at that time, but alhamdulillah. And then there was a very big test ahead for them. That was after a week of their becoming Muslims. I was here, they were there. My dad passed away. Before he passed away, I got to speak to him maybe half an hour before his death. I just told him that, Dad, see, worship one God, because I can't explain to him, because he's in the last moments of his death. And he said, I believe in one God, but I don't know if he's, don't ask me if he's a Muslim. Allah, Allah, it's up to Allah to decide whether it's accepted or not. Anyways, I fear that now, since my dad has passed away, my mom and sister can think, you know, shaitan convinces them, and they can think that my husband died or my father died because I left my religion. Maybe I need to go back to my religion. So at this point of time, I decided that, at this point of time, alhamdulillah, they anyhow passed the test that Allah had for them, and alhamdulillah, they came over here, and mashallah, they are more knowledgeable than me now, right now, and I'm learning from them, alhamdulillah. And this is how I came into Islam. And I think before I conclude, there's one last question, if they would don't mind, that I would like to answer, which is one more very common question that people say. Like most people sitting over here, you must be having in your mind that, mashallah, you know, these are new Muslims and they're practicing, and it's very easy for them to practice, you know, subhanAllah, and this is because they came into Islam and they left something great, and that's why they know the value, and we are born Muslims and we can't do all this, and you know, so, wallahi, this is the deception of the shayateen. It is up to you to follow the religion. It's not like we are new Muslims and that's why it's much more easy for us, or that's why we have the more desire. There are so many new Muslims who come into Islam and they're just the same. They just change their name, that's it. And there are so many Muslims, subhanAllah, who are born Muslims, who are the ulama-i-kibar of the century, like Sheikh Usaymin rahimahullah, Sheikh Albani rahimahullah, Sheikh Bin Baz rahimahullah, Sheikh Fawzan, hafizahullah. They are all born Muslims. Now, what has Shaitan done is, he has made us, you know, sit laid back, and we find, we go to YouTube, type Shahada, watch people, you know, this is what one of my friend was telling, that we go to YouTube, type Shahada, watch people taking Shahadas, and that's, we think we have done our job, our Iman boosts, and we go back home, watch movies, go back to sleep, not wake up for Fajr, go to work, lie, cheat, and do the same thing, go to YouTube, watch Shahada, and this is how we are, you know, brain fed by the shayateen. So Muslims, as Muslims, we need to realize that it is all up to us to come back to what Allah has asked us to do, and come back to the truth, and live as a Muslim, not just be as a Muslim and claim to be a Muslim. Live as a Muslim and die as a Muslim. I know I'm just crossing the time, I'll just complete inshallah, that many Muslims assume that बिफोर द डे दाई हम हज करेगा और लाए 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 बोलेगा बोलेगा और जन्नत जाएगा ना इट्स इट्स गोइंग टू हैपन लाइक दैट बट इट्स नॉट लाइक दैट अनलेस यू लिव योर लाइफ एज अ मुस्लिम दोज वर्ड्स बिफोर यू डाई विल नॉट कम आउट ऑफ योर माउथ यू विल बी सिंगिंग माई हम व्हेन यू डाई इफ यू आर नॉट एक्चुअली बीन ऑन ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह सो इफ यू वॉन्ट पीपल टू बिकम मुस्लिम्स follow Islam, follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, I just give a small example, like if you are, if you know this souk over here, and there are lots of foreigners who come there, imagine that every person working in that souk follows what Allah has told and lowers his gaze when a strange woman walks in. What will the impression the foreigners will have on this place? SubhanAllah. You want to make your friend a friend Muslim, your colleague Muslim, imagine you are in a meeting and it's time for prayer and you get up and go pray. This will be a better dawah for him than you talking 24 hours about Christianity, Islam and all the things that you have by heart. So to conclude, I would like to thank the organizers for giving me this opportunity to share my story and I hope that whatever I've said today is of something that will benefit my akhirah first and then the organizers, Al-Manar Quran Study Center and then everybody who's been listening to this. Whatever was evil was from me and the shayateen and whatever was khair was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.